Three teenage boys stare sullenly out of barred windows on a van. Fair-haired Carlin, younger dark-haired Davis, and black afro-haired Angel. Tough-looking Carlin sits impassively. He is wearing a black casual jacket and jeans. His hands are handcuffed. Scum.
Come on, move it.
Carlin stands holding bedding in front of a bearded man seated at a desk.
Get up straight, boy. Attention. Name and number.
4737 Carlin, sir.
Well, this is the daddy. The hard case. Carlin, is it?
Is it?
Yes, sir.
Don't look much to me, Carlin. You're the little tow rag who thumped the officer at Rowley.
He stands in Carlin's face.
Fancy yourself, dear Carlin. Thumping officers, eh?
Oh, we check it.
Speak when I tell you, lad.
I'd have sent you down here to be sorted out. You have heard of us, Carlin, eh?
Heard of us, have you?
Yes, sir.
And what did you hear?
Nothing, sir.
Well, I'll tell you here and now, lad, that nothing was not the correct information. Because we're having your stinking hooligan guts for garters. Right?
Yes, sir.
The officer grabs Carlin by the balls and throws him against a locker. Carlin cowers as the officer looms over him and thumps him hard in the belly.
Pick it up.
Carlin is punched in the kidneys as he scrabbles for his dropped blankets.
I said pick it up.
Carlin, doubled over in pain, gathers his bedding from the floor. He slowly pulls himself upright.
Name and number.
4737 Carlin, sir.
Get him out of it.
Out, Carlin. Move it. Go on over there. You. Hey.
Davis enters, carrying his bedding. Carlin stands beside Angel.
Stand up straight, boy. Name and number.
Bastards. Bastards. Bastards.
The boys run outside, still carrying their bedding.
Take those feet up.
They run past a recreation room with a table tennis table.
Halt!
A grey, windowless corridor.
In.
They jog into a room, the jailer locking the door behind them.
In line, Davis. Attention. Right, up those stairs.
Carlin leads the way. The three youths stand in line against a wall in a windowless corridor with cell doors running down each side. Two tough-looking men in sports jackets stand in front of them.
Right. Now, I'm Mr. Sands. This is Mr. Greaves. I'm the senior officer, and I run A-Wing. I run it. Right, Carlin?
Yes, sir.
Come down heavy, very heavy, on anyone who doesn't grasp that fact. Right? Right!
Yes, sir.
Now, Angel, you're in a single room. Some of the lads here can be what you might call prejudiced. And you're well advised to keep yourself to yourself. It's your first ball still, isn't it, lad?
Yes, sir. Apart from the scrubs.
Well, forget the scrubs. The holiday's over. Move! Davis, you were fool enough to run away from an open ballstall and you'll very soon be wishing you were back there. You're in a single room. Now move! Move it! Carlin, you're in a dormitory. Now move! That's it! In there, on the left.
Carlin scampers into a room with several beds. Sands follows.
That's yours, Carlin.
He indicates a bed.
You know the ropes and you know why you're here. I'll jump on you from a great height if you so much as breathe. Got that?
Yes, sir.
There's a lad, big lad called Pongo in that bed. He heard you were coming. Now grab that bumper and get to work on this floor. I want a shave in it.
Carlin starts brushing the floor. Sands tosses Carlin's stuff on the floor.
Carlin, we don't leave our bed space in that condition in here. Make up your bed pack and put your gear away. On the double!
Carlin unfolds the mattress and starts unpacking the blankets he carried.
Next time you're on report.
Sands leaves. Carlin stops unpacking and seethes. A column of Borstal inmates marching in the rain. Older, wavy-haired archer sets his face grimly. He is wearing a donkey jacket, blue jeans, and his feet are bare.
Pick those feet up and keep quiet.
They march past high brick walls. A sign reads F-Wing. Greaves talks to a youth.
Look to your front, Banks. Carlin's been allocated to your wing.
Are you here?
Shut it, Richards!
Three of them together. So you'll have a bit more company, won't you?
Sir.
And one of them's a jungle bunny.
Yes, sir.
I said quiet, Richards. Another sound from you and you're on report.
Yes, sir.
The canteen. Carlin, now dressed in blue prison-issue dungarees, is served food on a tray. He walks past prison officers standing guard and between tables of eating, chatting inmates. He sits down in an empty chair between Davis and Angel. Flanked by cronies, Pongo Banks, a well-built, dark-haired youth, eyes Carlin from afar. Carlin tucks into his lunch. Inmates sit opposite each other, polishing their boots. Archer takes a brush and scrubs the soles of his blackened, grimy feet. Carlin is watching him.
You off your fucking nut?
Possibly.
He continues scrubbing his soles.
I'm a vegetarian, Carlin, and I've read the rule book. I refuse to wear leather on my feet. I get extra potatoes as a substitute for meat, and I'm allowed fish when on the menu.
Yeah, but they give you a stick for that, mate.
Yeah, they do. But it causes them a lot of bother, doesn't it?
How long have you been here?
A month. Transferred from Dover.
Oh, nuisance.
No? Told him I was Christ. Some cunning bastards had the typical flash of genius and they banged me in here. A, the governor's a religious maniac. B, they'll knock the shit out of me.
How long you done altogether then?
16 months.
Jesus Christ, you must love it.
Not having me, the bastards. I don't eat shit for anyone and I don't give a monkey's if I do the full 2 years. I walk out of here on crutches, but they won't have me.
Banks and his henchmen loom in the doorway.
Davis, up.
Davis rises warily. Banks kicks him.
Davis, you're nothing. I'm the daddy here, and I run this wing. You pay your dues like the rest. Payday, you deliver a quarter of your snout to Stripey here. Every week, on the dot.
I don't smoke.
Well, you fucking will do now, slag. There's no dolly mixtures in here, pufta. I'm the daddy. And don't you ever forget it. Right? I said right.
Right.
Banks shoves him down and swaggers past Carlin.
Pongo Banks, the daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carlin. Your reputation was here well ahead of you, and you're going to have a little weeny bit of bother with that young man. Now, when I came here from Dover, that lot thought I was some kind of nut. Violent psycho, you know? So I give them this wild stare about the eyeballs, and they don't give me no bother.
He admires his grubby feet.
Yes, I think that'll do it for today.
You don't do yourself no favours, do you, mate?
Carlin, I just want to get through my time in my own little way, causing as much fucking trouble to the screws as possible. In my own little way. Okay.
He goes to leave, then turns to Carlin.
Oi, You watch yourself with those pigs.
The recreation room. Two youths are playing pool. Others sit against the walls on collapsible chairs. Carlin saunters in. Richards and Banks' other henchman, Eckersley, play ping-pong. Banks, sitting nearby, stares at Carlin, who lounges against a wall.
Woods!
What?
Get over here and keep my seat warm.
Young, fair-haired Woods hands his pool cue to his opponent and slouches over to Banks, who rises, still staring at Carlin. Richards and Eckersley sling their bats down and follow Banks out into the corridor. Other boys take over the table. Banks and his cohorts jog upstairs. Davis cowers out of their way before continuing his descent. Banks and Richards burst into Angel's cell. Outside, Eckersley closes the door.
Stand up, coon. Name and number. Up to attention when I come in here. I said, didn't he?
They yank Angel off his bed and punch him in the stomach. Eckersley observes through the spy window as Angel is beaten up and his cell trashed. The gang leave. Eckersley claps Banks on the back. Richards flexes and examines his right fist. Immediately, Sands emerges from his office and heads for Angel's cell. Angel is prostrate on the floor.
What's this then? How many feet? What do you think this is? Stand up! Name and number.
Angel, sir.
Number?
Can't remember, sir.
Can't remember your number, lad. That's all you are, a number. A number. Four digits. That's all you are. 4736. Name and number.
4736, Angel, sir.
Who did this?
What, sir?
Don't give me this, boy. Who did this?
Nobody, sir.
Fighting?
No, sir.
Fell?
No, sir.
Damaging government property, are we, you black bastard?
No, sir.
And what the hell are we doing, you black Brixton slag?
Nothing, sir.
Fighting. You're booked for fighting. Governor's report, right?
I wasn't...
Right! Anybody sign? Attention! Name and number.
4736 Angel, sir.
Louder.
4736 Angel, sir.
Straight out the banana trees, eh? Well, you take it from me, Nick Nog. You go stealing white man's motor cars and you get white man's stick. Right?
Yes, sir.
Now get this cell scrubbed. The double!
Angel holds his ribs, wincing. Sands leaves him, passing Davis in the corridor. Davis peers into Angel's cell, halts a second, then continues shuffling towards his neighbouring cell. He looks thoroughly miserable. Davis weeps into his pillow. Archer in an office.
I am older than most of the trainees here.
Yes?
Of the books available in the library, they're either trash westerns or hack adventure stories. Now, I can't read that muck. See, I don't know whether I'm supposed to be Roy Rogers or Nanook of the North. My needs are different.
The library caters for all trainees here, not single individuals.
Besides censoring our mail, you also veto what books are allowed to be sent in to us?
I do.
Then why haven't I been allowed the two Dostoevsky novels you received for me?
They're safely locked away. You'll have them when you're released.
Yeah, I shan't need them then.
Matron.
Have you read them? They are classics.
Archer, read them or not, Crime and Punishment and the Idiot are hardly suitable reading matter for a young boy in this establishment.
Boy?
Trainee. Your feet are disgusting, Archer. You're impudent and foolish. I know of vegetarians who don't eat meat, but that doesn't stop them from wearing shoes.
Oh, can't be very sincere people then, can they, matron?
Is that all?
Yeah, well, I think it's all going to be resolved soon anyway. The feet, I mean, and the diet. Yeah, I'm thinking of becoming a Sikh.
The governor might have something to say about that.
Matron, you know what I used to do with my girlfriend?
Are you being insolent, Archer?
Hold hands. We used to hold hands.
Is that all you wish to discuss, Archer? I have work to do.
Yes, I think so. Yes. Oh, I keep getting through the days somehow. You know, Matron, when I was last in the block, 7 days solitary down there, madam, after much insistence, they gave me, besides the belting, my right to a book. It was the Bible.
Good. You'll come to no harm with that.
It was printed in Yugoslavian, and there didn't have to be an interpreter in the cell.
Well, that only goes to show, Archer, that Christianity is universal.
Make the report, Matron.
A deserted Borstal corridor at night. In a dormitory room, Richards creeps out of his bed in pyjamas and over towards sleeping Carlin. Eckersley watches. Banks joins Richards. Banks stands over Carlin, fists raised. Carlin suddenly jerks awake and Banks slaps him.
Wait, Carlin. I'll run this fucking gaff. And you're dead if you come any of it in here.
Leave off with you. I don't give a fuck who the daddy is. I don't want no trouble, so just piss off and let me get on with my time, all right?
We'll give you time, you bastard.
Banks punches Carlin, straddles him and headbutts him. Eckersley sits up in his bunk, watching and laughing. Another boy hides under his covers. Morning. Half-awake inmates head back to their cells after washing. Carlin shuffles, head bowed, down the corridor. His left cheek is bruised purple. Banks admires himself in the washroom mirror. He glances at Carlin as he enters and follows him to a basin.
Slasher. Here, look at this. It's had a nightmare.
Banks and his two cronies hover around Carlin, who hunches, head bowed, over the basin.
There's more where that comes from, Carlin. You just keep your fucking mouth closed. You ain't no daddy here.
The gang leave him. Sands watches over the bustling canteen. Carlin walks behind him, carrying a tray of food.
Carlin!
Sands saunters over.
What happened to your face, Carlin?
I fell, sir.
Fell where?
On the
quiet, speak when I tell you. Somebody hit you, eh? Answer, somebody hit you.
No, sir.
We know about you, sonny. Who was it?
I fell, sir. On the stairs. Wasn't used to the concrete steps. My own fault.
I want none of your tricks here, laddie. Understand that?
Yes, sir.
Any more of this and you're in trouble. Real trouble. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Well, move yourself if you'd like being a gutter snipe. Move! Your governor's report.
Carlin finds a seat between Angel and Davis. Banks, Eckersley and Richards watch, gloating and grinning. Snow falling on a yard. A guard watches inmates shoveling earth into barrows. Another inmate runs up to him.
4568 Jackson, sir.
Late Jackson?
No, there were one surplus in the kitchen, so sent me to you.
Then get over there and get shoveling.
Jackson starts shoveling. Immediately, Carlin lobs a shovelful of earth over Jackson's head.
Oh, look at that, all of them were hair.
Quiet, Jackson, or do we want Mr. Teasy Weasy in there with you?
Only washed it last night, sir.
Quiet, you little pup, and keep shoveling.
Sir.
What is it, Angel?
Can I go to the toilet, sir?
No, you can't. Keep shoveling.
But, sir, I'm bursting.
Keep shoveling.
Woods shovels carelessly, tossing the earth behind him without looking.
Woods!
Yes, sir?
What are you supposed to be doing?
What, sir? Oh, shoveling, sir.
Then shovel it in the barrel, savvy? When we wanted the other side of the channel, we let you know that. Right?
Sir.
Keep it moving. It's not sandcastles on Margate Beach. Come on, Archer, no slacking from you, you long streak of cabbage.
Sometimes, some days, I somehow get the strangest notion they're trying to break my spirit.
Yeah, well, you're asking for it, ain't you, mate? Get some bleeding boots on your feet.
Lanky Eckersley swaggers down a corridor, a portable radio in his hand. He enters Davis's cell. Davis is curled up on his bed.
Do you want...
brought him a radio?
You can borrow it till we get one sent in.
No, thanks, I don't need one.
It's up to you, mate. Look, there's three of us in our dorm's got one, so we ain't going to miss this one, are we? I'll leave it over here, right? You can let us have it back later if you don't want it.
He leaves the radio on a cabinet. Archer reads a letter.
Anyway, your dad will decide and find homes for them. You'll still have Bessie when you come home, but we can't hang on to the pups forever since we don't know when you'll be coming home. So, we hope this finds you as it leaves us, Donald. Let us know how you are getting on, and be a good lad. Have to dash to catch the post. Love from Mum and Dad.
He hands Woods the letter. He checks inside his smoking tin and finds nothing.
They can't get rid of the pups, can they, Ben? I mean, they'll hang on till I get out. And then I can take care of them. I'll get a job. Then I can buy their grub for them. Will you write me a letter back tonight, Ben?
We'll see.
Archer starts rolling a cigarette.
Read it again for now, eh, Ben? Just the once.
Don't you go to classes?
Yeah.
Well, haven't they taught you to read yet?
No, I can't understand what they mean. You know, and I don't like asking. Just read it once more, Ben. I'll give you some sweets on payday. Go on, Ben, please.
Archer reluctantly takes the letter. Woods reclines on a bunk, hands behind his head. Archer puts his feet up.
Dear Donald.
Ben.
What?
You forgot the address.
Archer bends over the letter wearily, resting his head on his hand.
3 Almeda Street, Islington, London N1. All right. Dear Donald.
Mr. Greaves marches into Davis's room. Eckersley lurks behind him. Davis is lying on his bunk.
On your feet, lad.
What's happened to you, Davis, sir?
Greaves picks up the radio.
Whose radio's this, Davis?
That's Eckersley, sir.
What's it doing in your room?
He lent it to me, sir.
Come on, lad, let's have the truth. You've nicked it, haven't
you? No, sir, honestly.
You nicked it, lad. Don't bullshit me.
So you're asking? He bought it in himself, sir.
Eckersley has reported his radio missing, and here it is in your room. You're on Governor's report.
Davis slumps back down on his bed. Greaves leaves and tosses the radio to Eckersley. Eckersley passes Davis's cell, peering in, and rejoins Banks and Richards in their dorm. Banks checks Carlin over his shoulder. Inmates trudge in a column 3 abreast through heavy snow in the Borstal grounds.
Look, just tell the governor he lent it to you when you weighed off. You're going to get time in the block this time, mate. It's just a matter of how long. So whatever you do, don't antagonise the old bastard.
He was not looking further, was he?
Yeah. You listening to this, Archer?
Yeah, so I don't know what it means.
Read and fear. Did you do time in the block of Battling's Borstal?
No, I didn't.
Well, you're going to get it here, mate, and so am I. You just keep your mouth shut and sit for it. You cause trouble and they'll belt the shit out of you. And you don't seem like the sort of bloke who's going to stand a lot of their bastard hangouts.
Watch Tasty Reg down there. He's a winner. Fully fledged humanitarian with a BA in hatred.
The white-haired governor marches through the kitchens, followed by another man in a Mac.
Morning, Mr. White.
Morning, sir. Good morning, Mr. Whittle.
Everything looks fine.
Thank you, sir.
All around them, inmates scrub the floor and clean the cooking equipment. Dugan brings a tray of food, and the governor tries a few mouthfuls. Mr. White, the chef, waits anxiously. The governor signs a book held in front of him.
Fine, Mr. White.
Excellent.
The two men march off. They walk down a snow-covered path in the grounds.
Morning, Reg.
Morning, sir.
Entering A-Wing.
No, 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 for the governor.
Coffee 2-1 Curtis, sir.
Everything all right, Peltier?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Yeah.
Down and over for the governor.
3936 Kabaya, sir.
Everything right, Kabaya?
Yes, sir.
Good.
In.
Down and over for the governor.
4511 Chambers, sir.
Everything right, Chambers?
Yes, sir.
Good.
In.
Down and over for the governor.
4527 Smith, sir.
Everything all right, Smith?
Sir.
Good.
In.
Name and number for the governor.
4396 James, sir.
Everything all right, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Good.
In.
Carlin, Angel and Davis waiting.
Morning, sir.
Apart from absconding, your record at your previous borstal was clean, Davis, and I have taken that into consideration. However, I will stress that if I deal with you leniently here, it will certainly not be so light should you appear before me again. CVO in?
Answer, Governor.
Answer.
Denomination, Church of England.
Yes, sir.
Good. 3 days in the block. Loss of privileges for 1 week.
Out, sir. Quick march. Out. Out. You in. Put on the men, legs apart, and face the governor.
Name and number to the governor.
4737 Carlin, sir.
Fighting, Carlin. Transferred for 16 months. Oh, yes. Yes. Now then, Carlin. You were transferred to me because you assaulted an officer at your previous borstal, though heaven knows what they expect me to do with you. However, I will have no violence in this institution. There is no violence here. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Yet no sooner are you settled in than, well, the marks are visible on your face. I'm a generous man, Carlin, but I will not have any trainee take liberties. If you are brought here again, you will be in very serious trouble. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, have you anything to say?
Well, not really, sir. Except I wasn't fighting, I fell. Wasn't used to the concrete steps. However, I can understand the officer thinking that I had by the state of my face. So I've got no excuse, really, sir. I mean, what else could he think?
CAVO in?
Oh, yes, sir. My religion's a great comfort to me.
Good. Then it may even have some guidance for your reform. 3 days solitary in the block. Loss of earnings for 2 weeks.
About turn. Out! Out!
Come on, Carly, move it!
Move it double! I said double!
Carlin is shoved against the far wall of a solitary cell and locked in. Inmates sit around in the recreation room, staring down glumly.
Meekin?
Sir?
Visitor.
Meekin heads off. The others sit lifelessly on wooden chairs. Visitors sit at tables with inmates. Meekin sits down with a middle-aged couple and they start chatting. Dugan, wearing a white jacket, wheels a trolley past tables. He clears empty cups. He lifts an ashtray to reveal a folded banknote, which he pockets. Betts, the inmate seated nearby, gazes around, then continues chatting with his young female visitor. Dugan empties the ashtray from Meekin's table and wheels the trolley from the room.
None of the lads will wear it, Banks. You know they won't.
What are they going to do then? Walk about with pound notes?
Pound notes aren't allowed in it, are they, Dugan? Very stiff penalties for anything but small change.
And there's very stiff penalties for anyone that tries to undercut my rate. You make sure certain parties know that, Dugan. Right. Come on, Dugan.
In the kitchens, Dugan produces crumpled banknotes. Banks examines them.
That's £8 altogether, right? I get 70 pence per equipment and the screw, right? Your cut's 5 pence and mine's 15. That leaves 50 pence.
50 pence for £1.
I've got fucking overheads, haven't I? Haven't those bastards heard of inflation? You give them that 50 pence. And if they don't like it, they can see me. Screw.
The Governor's Office.
I'm granting your request to marry, Betts, and I hope this may induce you to work hard, cooperate, and leave here as soon as possible. It all depends on you. 1 month hence, released for 4 hours under escort to marry. Right, Betts?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
This causes no little inconvenience, Betts. It's at cost to the taxpayer. And I could not pretend to be pleased that you're marrying in a registry office.
That's just for now, sir. We're going to have a proper church do when I get out.
Hmm. Let's hope you're released before the child is born.
Yes, sir.
And see you don't misplace my trust, Betts.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Right, out you go.
About turn, quick, Marge. Move it, Betts.
Register of it.
Archer, in.
Archer's naked feet pad across the carpet and come to a halt in front of the governor.
Name and number to the governor.
4721 Archer, sir.
Ah, Archer. Still a vegetarian, are we?
Yes, sir.
And still barefoot, too.
Yes, sir.
Well, Archer, we have every respect for another man's sincere beliefs here. The individual is to be encouraged at a little trouble and expense. We have procured plastic boots for you. Do you appreciate that?
Yes, sir.
No objection to plastic, have we?
No, sir.
Good, then I hope the corporation will be reciprocated. Indeed. Have you read The Life of St. Francis of Assisi, Archer?
No, sir. Though I'm sure it's a most engrossing epistle, sir.
It is. The son of a wealthy man, he converted to Christianity in 1208 and turned from his life of pleasure to commit himself to poverty and the life of the gospel. You should read it.
As a matter of fact, sir, I wanted to mention access to literature to you, sir. Well, you see, I'm finding myself strongly drawn to Mecca, sir. Very strongly indeed.
Mecca, Archer?
Yes, sir. It's something stirring within me, sir. Well, I'm sure you understand what I mean, sir.
Archer, you will see the chaplain tomorrow.
I'm an atheist, sir. It's on my record, atheist and vegetarian.
You tell them you were Christ at Dover, Archer. You will see the chaplain tomorrow, and there will be no more talk of Mecca in this establishment. Get him issued with the boots.
About turn, quick march, move it, Archer.
Take up, lad. Come on, move, move!
Come on,
come on, you bastards, move!
Raise the blood, Angel.
Get in line, Davis. Come on, move it. Pick those feet up.
Enjoy a little holiday, did we? Good. Now you rest assured, my beauties, whenever you feel like a break, it's always there. Always at your disposal. Right, Carlin?
Yes, sir.
Now get moving. Put your gear in your rooms and straight to ablutions. I want work out of you tow rags and plenty of it. Now move! Pick those feet up! Double up!
Carlin and Angel are mopping up in the toilets. Banks appears with Richards and Eckersley in tow. He yanks Davis out of a cubicle and enters it.
Out!
Richards flings one boy against a wall. Banks emerges from the cubicle. Carlin continues mopping, head down. Banks washes his hands. Banks watches Carlin mopping. He gobs on the floor behind Carlin, who keeps mopping. Davis watches the gang strut off and looks back to Carlin. Matron sits in her office with inmates.
Right. What shall we talk about?
She looks around the motley group.
Any problems? Come along, that's what I'm here for.
They slump in chairs or against walls, disinterested. One young boy looks up.
Why am I so far from home, Matron?
Because you murdered that kid.
All right, Eckersley. Formby, I'm forever explaining this to you. Do try to let it sink in.
He's 14 years old. 14.
Quiet, Archer.
But I'll never get a visitor.
Well, that is unfortunate, Formby, but you have to be detained during Her Majesty's pleasure. As there are no special places for boys like yourself at the moment, you have to remain here. Now, here you have the opportunity to learn and to improve. And if you behave and apply yourself to your duties willingly and to the rules, there may be every chance that Her Majesty or one of her representatives may consider your release and rehabilitation much earlier than you imagine.
Much earlier than what, Major?
Meanwhile, try to remember that you are more fortunate than boys similar to yourself who are held at Wormwood Scrubs for years until they're old enough to transfer to prison. All right?
Woods is sitting at the front.
My
I'll get three puppies. Three. Issue my letter.
Yes, I read it, Woods. That is good news, isn't it? Where are you going, Meekin?
Out.
Out what?
Out matron.
Will you sit down, please, Meekin?
Surly-looking Meekin leans against a wall by the door. She sighs and addresses another black boy.
Everything all right with you, Toyn?
Yeah, fine, matron.
Good, good.
She sighs again. Jackson closely examines his comb.
Anything else?
Archer is lounging in a chair, looking down, chin on his chest.
Trust.
Pardon, Archer.
I would like to suggest a discussion on the nature of trust.
Are you sure that's not a matter for you to take up with your housemaster?
Well, you see, matron, we are continually bombarded with instructions to trust. Yet at the same time, we are continuously informed that we are completely untrustworthy. So you see, matron, perhaps it might be of some benefit to all of us if we were to openly discuss the nature of trust and explore those areas where such a valuable commodity may be nurtured and not stifled or eroded.
Matron looks down uncomfortably.
Does anyone want to continue this discussion suggested by Archer?
Eckersley looks away. Meekin stares down.
Matron.
Yes, Meekin.
Look, is there any chance of you calling us by our Christian names? I mean, it's the only reminder of our identities we have left.
And now my own feelings on that subject don't enter into it. I'm bound by Home Office rules as you are. So whatever I may personally feel, well, that is the rule. And we're all here to learn to obey. So, thank you all for coming. Next week, same time. And if any of you have any problems, do not hesitate to come to me. And if I can't help, I know that Mr. Goodyear will.
Jacket pockets. His left cheek still discoloured, he leans against a wall in the recreation room. Inmates are playing table tennis. He takes a sock from his pocket and stuffs two pool balls into it.
Carry on.
The pool players continue playing. He strides through into the adjoining room and surveys the occupants. Archer is sitting against the wall. Richards kicks Woods off a chair.
Leave that. Strike line hurting you.
Don't you're in my bleeding way.
It's all right, Ben.
What's up with you, weirdo? You want striping, do you? You might get left alone here, but I'll cut you a bleeding ribbons if I get any of your poxy lip.
Carlin smacks him hard with the filled sock.
Ross! I said, get back, shithead!
Eckersley edges back. Richards is crumpled on the floor, and Carlin kicks him hard between the legs. Eckersley looks away. Carlin trots out and tips the balls back onto the pool table.
Yeah, we'll carry on.
He hurries out of the recreation room, down the corridor and up the stairs. He checks inside his dormitory room. He continues on down the corridor and turns into the washroom area. He suddenly charges forward and grabs Banks, who is bent over a basin. He smashes his head into the taps. Carlin hurls Banks against a wall and batters him bloodied to the floor.
Banks, you bastard! I'm the daddy now. Next time I'll fucking kill you!
He kicks him repeatedly in the balls.
Who was it, Richards? Who was it? Carlin? The Coons?
Slip, sir.
Give you fucking slip. Right on your feet! Who did this? Come on, who did it?
What's that, sir?
Where's Banks?
I haven't seen him.
Sands runs upstairs looking concerned. He pulls Groggy Banks up off the toilet floor.
Don't think!
you talking to? Carling! I want you to name Carling!
Sands slaps him hard again, and Banks slides down the wall unconscious, leaving a trail of blood. Sands lopes off angrily.
Carling! Carling!
Carling stands innocently.
You're really for it this time. Banks and Richards are both named you. You'll get 3 years for this, scum.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
You fucking well will, Torag. I run this wing, and I'm not having it disrupted by a dirty little backstreet villain like you. You'll sign a statement downstairs.
I've got nothing to say, sir. I'd like to see the housemaster.
Oh, you will, Carlin. You will.
And the governor, sir. I've got a witness.
Shit witness. I'm having you, lad. You banged that officer at Rowley. And you must be thinking you've walked quietly away from that one. But he's here. He's me. He's every fucking screw in this ball, still every one of us. Now, come on. Had he fancy taking a poke at me, eh? Come on, big man.
I didn't bang no screw. I retaliated. There was two of them kicking the shit out of me.
We'll retaliate here. Come on!
Carlin reels under the blow, then resumes staring straight forward. Sands' face quivers with rage.
I'll have you.
Looking mean, he shoves Carlin in the chest, then turns and walks off. Unmoving, Carlin watches him go. The laundry room. Inmates wheel trolleys full of sheets.
Where's Carlin?
A boy nods behind him. Dugan finds Carlin and Archer loading trolleys in a back room.
Carlin.
What?
Baldy, the tinted daddy man from B-Wing. He wants to meet you.
Well, I don't talk to shit.
He wants to meet Carlin. We know what for. He's a right hire. When's it going to be?
I'll find him.
Carlin looks around coolly.
You tell him, Dugan. He's a black bastard, right?
He knows.
Dugan grins and departs. Archer is dumping laundry in a metal trolley beside Carlin. They wheel the laden trolleys away.
Rather warm, old chap, don't you think?
Yeah. Won't be in this bleeding sweatbox for much longer, I can tell you. It's right, the coons keeps them warm in winter, but it's no fucking good to me. All this for nicking 30 bob's worth of junk.
You're joking.
30 bob's worth of fucking scrap. Well, my brother had a bit of foam, so they stuck it on me. My mother went through his body.
Jesus, that's one for the book.
What's she doing, a bank or what?
No, Carlin, no. I was merely trying to further a respectable career in the employ of a timber merchant. Clark. My old lady was sick, you know, all the time, fragile. And there was all this stick about giving her a bad time and, you know, wanting to see her something secure, respectable, you know, all that shit. So I was sticking out in this office. The only thing was, I got too ambitious, didn't I? Yeah, I wasn't satisfied with dipping my fingers into the petty cash for stamps. Nah, started working on the cash sales. Making 40, 50 quid on the side most weeks, going to work in a cab. Yeah, until some hard-faced mayor comes back for a swap when I'm out, and here I am.
What was it, your first offence?
Well, you know my mouth. Gave the judge a bit of lip. Didn't know the ropes, did I? She sat there fart-faced under her wig, packs me off the ball stop.
They start loading another trolley. Davis wheels a full one away. Later, Carlin and Dugan are in the toilet. Dugan has a fistful of banknotes.
40 pence a quid, that's it.
I can't go with that, Carlin. They'll cut my fucking throat.
Yeah, well, that's the way things are now, mate. 40p debt or nothing.
If you're going to come back, Carlin, the old bleeding Nick will be on you. Right behind Baldy.
Fuck them. But don't you see? If Banks paid 50, I've got to give them less. That's psychology. If I want to keep hold of him, I've got to be harder than him. Well, you'll have some mugging paying 60. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, 40's way under, Carlin. It won't be worth the risk getting money in.
Carlin ponders.
Okay, 45. They get 45. But I want it made clear, Dugan, it's a favour. You had to bleeding well beg me, right?
Okay.
You had to plead with me, right?
Right.
Carlin!
Sir?
Mr. Goodyear's office.
Yes, sir.
Carlin makes way for Mr. Greaves, who brushes past him into the toilet.
Dugan, Association.
Yes, sir.
I don't want you hanging around in here.
Carlin stands in front of Mr. Goodyear in the housemaster's office.
It's one of the most rewarding aspects of this job. Encouraging ability and individuality. And a consequence of this is that natural leaders will emerge, as they have throughout history. But Carlin, as I am sure you are aware, the gift of leadership entails responsibilities, like setting a good example and keeping order. Leadership means order. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now then, you came here with a bad reputation.
But I am prepared to take you as I find you. You'll have every chance to prove yourself on this wing, Carlin, and even to win back some of the time you've lost through your more unfortunate escapades. As housemaster, I run this wing. I want that firmly understood. Nobody rocks my boat. Do we understand each other? Yes, sir.
Very well, then.
Just one thing, sir.
Yes.
I would like a single cell.
I think we can arrange that, Mr. Greaves.
Yes, sir.
Anything else?
No, sir.
About turn. Move!
Woods is waiting outside, folding his letter nervously. Carlin struts past.
Here you go, Woods. Name and number to the housemaster. Carlin.
Greaves closes the office door after Woods. Carlin halts. Greaves advances.
All right, Carlin. But don't push it. If there's any bother, we'll have your bleeding guts. Right? I said right.
Yes, sir.
On your way.
Carlin's eyes bore into Greaves. Carlin smirks slightly and walks off. Greaves watches him go, then heads back into Goodyear's office.
Three, she had three puppies. Well, my mum says she doesn't know if I don't afford them. You know, sir, feeding them and all that. Well, I want to find homes for them, sir. And if they can't wait for me to get out... I was wondering if you'd like one, sir. It wouldn't cost you anything.
Woods.
Yes, sir?
You were not brought here to discuss your dog.
No, sir, but you see...
Quiet, Woods. Speak when you're spoken to.
I've had you brought here to inform you that you aren't up to scratch, Woods. Your room is dirty. Your clothing disheveled. The reports from your classes are appalling. The list grows. And I am warning you that unless there is a marked improvement in your overall bearing in the near future, you will be in serious trouble.
I'll do my best, sir.
It's not good enough, Woods.
Oh, I seem to be behind, sir.
Then do as you're told, lad. You don't have to think for yourself here. It's all laid on. Now, forget all this juvenile puppy business and get down to it. I don't want to see you on report again, right?
Sir.
Oh, now, come on, come on. This isn't racial, it's a game. Right, A-wing this end, B-wing that end, move!
A white team and a black team cross on a basketball court.
Rules! No punching in the face! No kicking in the ghoulies! And no biting!
Right, let's go!
A huge ruck.
Bastard! Get pulled down here! Get him away, you black bastard!
Hit him in the bollocks!
Where's the fucking boot, you cunt?
Come on, get out of there! Get the ball moving!
Come on, boys, let's go! Don't just stare back! Come on!
Move and fucking ball!
Get out of him!
Hope go on, kill that
shit.
Bastard!
Kick him! See the booing! Get the kick!
Move! Kill him!
Body, body, bastard, body, that's it! Kill him! Fuck off!
The teams fight for the ball, kicking and gouging.
Fucking black bastard!
Toyne walks down a corridor and pauses in the doorway to Matron's office. She is wearing her coat. Matron's office. She is wearing her coat and on her way out.
Hello, Toyne. What is it? Well, come on, what is it?
This. It came today.
Yes, I know that.
Will you read it?
But I have already.
Read it again.
She pulls a letter out of an opened envelope he hands her.
Dear Ronald, sorry we have not wrote to you for so long, but things have been busy. Anyway, we thought we had better let you know that Candy died last week and we buried her. She looked very pretty and looked peaceful, and since you have not seen her for some time, we thought you should know this. Well, have to dash, things are busy. Good luck, George and Bet.
She replaces the letter in the envelope, sighing.
Well, Toyne, somebody's pet. Dog? Budgie?
He takes the letter.
My wife. Candy was my nickname for my wife.
He turns away from her abruptly and strides off. The canteen. Carlin carries a tray of food to a table where Archer and Davis are eating. He sits opposite Archer. He scans the room, then impales a sausage with his fork. Still checking the room, he sticks the sausage under Archer's nose.
No strings.
Get it down, you sharpish.
Archer looks over his shoulder, then scoffs the sausage.
Vegetarians, I've shit 'em.
Other boys titter. Dugan sits down beside Carlin.
Carlin, that old baldy says to boil a house tomorrow. There'd be a whole crowd of us there shoveling shit. He says just you and him. What?
A bald black youth stares at Carlin across the canteen. Davis pushes a wheelbarrow outside.
Come on, Davis, move it!
Davis breaks into a canter. Greaves stands watching a gang of inmates shoveling earth and wheeling it away in barrows. A wooden door is pulled open and Carlin watches two black youths, Baldy's henchmen, come out of the boiler house. They stand either side of the door. Carlin catches the eye of Greaves, who sidles off. Carlin plants his shovel in a mound of earth and strides off purposefully, watched by Dugan and Archer. He enters the boiler house. Boiler room machinery fills a huge chamber. Carlin walks through, checking around, hands thrust into his donkey jacket. He walks through a control room past dials and tanks. He finds Baldy waiting, arms tense in a fighting stance. The muscular, bald black youth stares at him menacingly.
Where's your tool? What fucking tool?
Carlin slugs Baldy with a metal baton and batters him to the floor. He squats over him.
This fucking tool! Do you want some more?
Leave me that, man!
I'm gonna tell you once. Just once. You listening to me, Coon?
Yeah.
You run B-Wing.
Right.
All right. But for me, I give the orders. Right?
Yeah.
You'll get your perks, but I'm the daddy. Right?
Yeah.
Carlin stands over his writhing, bloodied victim.
Get some coal dust rubbed on those marks, you fucking black bastard!
Carlin boots him and Baldy rolls over in agony.
God.
Carlin leaves him on the floor. He flings the metal baton down on his way out. Carlin appears in the boiler room doorway. Baldy's cronies sprint in behind him as he saunters out. Carlin grabs his shovel and gives Dugan a slight smile. Greaves is watching from round the corner.
Right, come on, get on with it. We haven't got all day.
Mr. Sands opens a metal gate at the end of a corridor and ushers Betts inside. Betts is wearing a suit and tie. Inmates troop out and surround Betts. Angel dressed as a bride.
How would you like if someone touched a wife's butt? All right. I now pronounce you man and wife. You can shake the bride.
They drag Betts and Angel down the corridor.
Look, I'm not marrying a fucking coon anyway.
All right. You and your partner get some order. Get back into association. Betts, up to your room. Relieve yourself and get changed. Move it. Come on, lad.
Betts follows Sands down a corridor. Another boy leans against the wall.
What a wedding night. They can even fuck that up in here.
Come on, Toyne, you'll have some fun now and again. Don't be standing there moping, lad.
Toyne is slumped against a wall in a world of his own. Archer sits in the recreation room. He's alone, apart from one officer who is reading. The man drains a mug and refills it from a thermos flask.
Archer?
Sir? He deposits the mug of coffee on the edge of the ping-pong table. Archer gets to his feet. Archer picks up the mug of coffee.
Thanks, Mr. Duke. It won't happen again. Oh, that's lovely.
Archer sips the coffee and stands near seated Mr. Duke. Archer sits opposite Duke.
Angels.
He puffs on a cigarette.
You might be a smart ass, Archer, but you're nothing but a fool to yourself. I'll get by. You'll do the full stretch, do you know that? Well, they're not having me, Mr. Duke. Oh, I've got to save myself, despite whatever methods you bastards devise to destroy me. I'll get through it, or I won't. But it's my way. Last lip, Archer. I won't have insolence. Talk's one thing, but I will not tolerate insolence. Right, lad? Right, sir. Look at you sitting there with that smile on your face. Why aren't you over there with the rest of them? I'm an atheist. What do you think that lot are, disciples? Every Sunday there's an officer allocated to watch you. Just because you're too bloody pig-headed to sit in chapel for half an hour. And every Sunday, that's a little bit more you owe us. You know what the boss is like. You're committing a mortal sin sitting here. They're all atheists, but they don't put it about. I did hear you were thinking of turning Indian. I think about all sorts of things. Haven't you seen enough of them in here? Why don't you keep your nose clean and get out? Boredom. Nah, I never was much good at that. Pass the time quietly. You don't hear me moan, do you, Mr. Duke, eh? I mean, I smile. I smile a lot. You're loose in the head, lad. Well, yeah, you know when I was in the scrubs, like sweating it out in that filthy cell? Well, I had this matchbox. And it said on this matchbox, it takes 60 muscles to frown, but only 13 to smile, so why waste energy? You see,
I'm doing my time on a matchbox.
Jesus Christ.
Do nothing to me at DA. Nothing. You know, when I was out, I always reminded myself you can take something good from every experience. Well, the only thing I'll take from Borstal is evil.
Because you don't bloody toe the line.
No, it's not that, Mr. Duke, no. I mean, now you take Mr. Goodyear. Right, he rattles out bullshit about character building morning, noon and night. Well, it's impossible. It's not on. How can anyone build a character inside a regime based on deprivation? It's a one-way contamination. Good, fine minds thrown in with crazy, perverted people. I mean, what am I doing here? Why aren't I on another wing where there might at least be somebody to talk to, where I could be civilized? I'm always looking over my shoulder. See, if it's not a screw at me, it's a con. Why didn't they send me to an open neck?
You're too old for this, lass, I'll give you that. They should have given you a prison sentence.
Right. You're right.
I was happier in prison. Now I've got to finish my time with a bunch of snotty young hooligans. 2 years of this, lass, before I retire.
How long have you done?
A long time.
That's an hefty sentence, Mr. Duke. One way or another in prisons.
Public service, Archer. Haven't you realised some of the lads actually like being in here?
Yeah, it's called institutionalised.
Not secure.
Well, I mean, in here you act, you're punished, and you're free. Outside, out there, you act, you're punished by your own guilt complexes, and you're never free.
And what little book did you get that from?
This one. Certainly not from what's on offer here. Mr. Duke, I don't wish to underestimate your lifetime's work, but the punitive system does not work. I mean, my experience of Borstal convinces me that more criminal acts are imposed on prisoners than by criminals on society.
Convinces you, eh? Fancy half of that mob charging up and down your street. Fancy your mother tackling that lot on the rampage. No, you bloody well don't. So what do you do about it, eh? Come on, what do you do about it?
I talk about it first, like we are.
Talks bullshit. You lock them up.
Oh, I'd also consider what happens to their guardians.
Watch it, lad.
No, come on, I'm serious, Mr. Duke. We take yourself. For a weekly wage, you have been locking up men and boys for most of your working life, right? Now, hanging down your leg is a chain, your key chain, and the length of that chain indicates the time you have spent in the service. Right, you may not have been fortunate in terms of promotion, but the length of that chain gives you rank over other officers of similar rank only. But at the same time, it acts as a constant reminder that although you have spent your life in the prison service, you are still only a basic officer. Now, who gets the stick for that? Us. Who pays for that daily humiliation?
Stand up, Archer.
Archer smirks.
Wipe that fucking grin off your face before I knock it off. Name and number.
4721 Archer, sir.
I give you my fucking coffee and you think you can sit there and have the piss out of me?
No, sir, I didn't. I never get the chance to express myself.
Then it's as well you don't, lad.
I was only concerned with men being stripped of their dignity, cons and screws. We aren't much different in here, you know.
You're on report for insolence.
Yes, sir.
Stand up straight.
They stare into each other's eyes. Duke walks off. The gate at the end of the corridor is unlocked, and Betts walks back in.
Right, in.
Betts walks into the recreation room, where other inmates are sitting listlessly. Betts sits beside Meekin.
You seen it, then?
Jesus, beautiful. I managed to touch you, you know.
He looks heavenwards.
These visits are going to drive me fucking crazy.
Come on, you lot! Look at this floor! Get it cleaned! Move yourselves! Come on, move!
Toyne remains sitting as the others file out.
That includes you, Toyne.
Toyne doesn't move, sitting with his hands in his pockets. He suddenly leaps up and pulls out a knife. He slashes at his wrists and rampages, blood spurting, knocking Formby off his chair. He throws himself onto the bars of the corridor gate. They restrain the screaming boy and drag him off.
Black bastard!
They haul him down the corridor. The other inmates watch, shocked and horrified. Leaving a trail of blood on the walls, they bundle him into a room and slam the door. Archer and Jackson are painting the outer wall of a building. Archer is writing over the brown paint with beige, spelling out, "I am happy," in 2 feet high letters. Mr. Goodyear observes from his first floor window. He flings it open.
Archer! Sir? Report to my office!
He slams his window closed.
Yes, sir.
Archer dumps his brush and trudges off. Wood stands in front of the governor.
The reports may seem minor taken individually. They do mean that altogether you are not pulling your weight, Woods. 3 days, lose 1 month.
About turn out!
Move it. Archer, in.
Feet on a mat, legs apart and face the governor.
Name and number to the governor.
4721, Archer, sir.
Archer. Insolence, graffiti. Guilty.
Misplaced trust, sir.
How's Mecca these days, Archer?
No further information through as yet, sir, although I am meditating whenever possible.
I see. Have you read Alan Brooks' book on Churchill, Archer?
I don't believe I've had that literary pleasure, sir.
You should, you should. 7 days in the block. Lose 1 month. For your meditation, Archer.
About to out.
Move it, Archer. Move!
Come on, Archer, move it! Move, Archer!
Come on, Archer, double, double! I said double!
Archer marches into a cell and the door is locked.
And the whole of Sea Wing thought the fish was bad, James?
Yes, sir.
What about the others?
Yes, sir.
No, I can answer this, sir. I do remember day in question. First of all, that fish was not bad. But I do admit it may have seemed strong. Strong, yes, I admit that, but it was not bad.
What do you mean, strong, Mr. White?
Probably some of this new Atlantic fish they're bringing out, sir. A strange taste, can seem strong.
Ah, well, you know...
Yes.
You should complain at the time if you think something might be off.
I did, sir.
Oh. And?
Mr. White ate it.
Wasn't bad then, was it, lad? Do you think I'd have poisoned myself?
That was my dinner.
Yes, well, we'll keep an eye out for Atlantic fish. Anything else?
The batter's all soft, sir.
Well, it always is. I mean, the whole wing moans about it.
Mr. White?
Of course the batter's soft. It's impossible to make crispy batter. In all my years catering in all kinds of institutions, I've never been able to make crispy batter. The only way to do that is to buy powdered stuff, and we don't have the money for that. Come in!
Dugan enters.
See, sir.
T.
tea, Mr. Goodyear?
Why not? Why not?
Dugan bends over a tea trolley.
Can we smoke, sir?
One quick burn. Permission from Mr. Goodyear.
They are seated round a meeting table. Dugan serves cups of tea.
What's that?
Nothing, sir.
Out.
Yes, sir.
Dugan heads off with his trolley.
Yes, well, I think that's covered both wings, Mr. White. Unless there's anything else. And Meakin is satisfied with the batter explanation.
Meakin stares down, unresponding.
Meakin. Meakin!
Answer, Mr. Goodyear, lad. Stand up.
Meakin dashes his cup against the wall.
Oh, he's killed himself in the scrubs! He's dead! Look, I saw the guy cut his wrist on A-Wing, and you send him to the scrubs to kill himself! He's dead!
He raises two fingers to Goodyear.
Oh, you fucking bastard!
He stares at Goodyear, eyes full of hatred, then walks off.
I realize there's a bad feeling about what happened to our friend Toyn, and we're all deeply sorry. But these things happen, Carlin, as you know. Many boys arrive here in disturbed conditions, and there simply isn't the staff to cope with them. Anyway, I don't want the boys on this wing behaving erratically. It'll do no one any good. In fact, they'll only make things damn difficult for themselves. I want you to use your influence to keep things down, if you see what I mean. It'll soon blow over. All right, Carlin?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now off you go.
Carlin stares back sullenly, then departs.
In.
Out!
3318 Meakin, sir.
In.
Out!
365 Wood, sir.
In.
Out!
4721 Archer, sir. In.
Sir. Out!
4736 Angel, sir.
What is it, Archer?
There was no exercise today, sir. Request to see the governor, sir.
In.
Archer stands defiantly outside his cell.
Archer, the rule book. The rule book says exercise is dependent on the weather. It looked like rain.
But it didn't, sir.
The officer shoves him onto the floor.
Dirty cell, Archer. Governor's report.
Archer lies in a heap, his tea spilled over his bed.
Imagine that in the back of a Mercedes.
Yeah, she's got a bird eye, it's another. Quite a pair of Bristols.
Do anything, she would. Anything you wanted.
Oh, I've had plenty of birds like that. Finn, no. Mind you, thin birds always go potty for me.
Christ, when I get out of here, the big time, big stuff. I've got some ideas, but that's one thing about it, Nick. You never come out short on ideas, and you know where you went wrong. Well, you get it from your mates. Sort through their mistakes. You can learn a lot in there if you use your loaf.
Bank's the best, though. Well, you do one big job and you're set up for life.
Yeah, planning. That's all it needs, planning. And plenty of bottle in, bang, and out.
There's no shortage of birds then.
Yeah, but I never have been short of birds. Always have plenty of crumpet after me.
Listen to Bert Reynolds.
Watch your mouth, Jackson.
The only crumpet you've had is with your fist.
Yeah, and you'll be getting my fist in a minute.
Leave off, will you? We're sick of hearing you two.
Oh, hey. Hark at our bent friend. You two fancy yourselves, eh?
Piss off. You two couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery.
I'll have you, Rose.
I'll cut it out, Richards.
Cut it out, Richards? You got some front, haven't ya?
We all saw how big you were when Carlin sorted you out.
Yeah.
You and your mate, Pongo. If there's any more bother, you'll get it again. Nicholsley's due for if he steps out of line. You know that, don't you, shithead?
Yeah, well, anyone comes near me gets striped, all right? I mean, who they fucking are.
Just remember, shitbag, that people get moved around.
And Carlin ain't going to be here changing your nappies forever. The way his arse licking, he'll be out in a month. And I'm going to carve you two bastards up first chance I get. Just remember that, the pair of you.
Davis is working alone in the greenhouse, filling pots with earth. Outside, other inmates are digging in fields. A supervisor is monitoring them nearby.
Is it all right if we have a quick burn, sir?
OK, but don't take too long about it. There's work to be done.
Three lads dump their shovels in a wheelbarrow, kick mud off their boots, and tramp off towards the large greenhouse. Davis is potting plants on a table inside. The three boys enter the greenhouse and light up. The trio chat and nod towards Davis at the other end of the greenhouse. They stub out their cigarettes and advance towards him.
What do you want?
They punch him repeatedly.
Turn him over.
The third boy pulls down his dungarees as they bend Davis over the table.
Please, no! 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 Please, no! No! No!
The third boy fumbles in his underpants and jerks his groin hard against Davis's naked behind. He kidney punches Davis.
No! 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 No!
Davis is held face down over the table as his attacker pumps against him. The boy untenses and steps back from Davis, who is still held down, eyes closed, mouth open in pain. A second boy moves behind him. The second boy grinds against Davis. Mr. Sands approaches the greenhouse and peers in through the grubby windows. Davis's face is contorted. He shakes his head limply. Mr. Sands watches them grimly from outside. The third boy grins and scuttles round behind Davis, who struggles in vain. The supervisor approaches the greenhouse. The rapists pull their underpants and dungarees back up and leave. Davis slumps to the floor.
Right, let's have you. Come on outside, you lazy bastards!
Davis lies crumpled, weeping, as the boys troop out, readjusting their clothing. Mr. Sands enters the greenhouse and walks over to Davis.
Davis, what are you doing there? What happened? Well, lad?
Nothing, sir. I fell, sir.
Fall back onto your feet. This isn't Kew Gardens, laddie. On your feet.
Sands departs. Davis lies on the floor, his body convulsing as he weeps. The other boys are back in the field, shoveling. The supervisor marches up to Sands. In the canteen, inmates file past tubs of grimy water, rinsing their mugs. Betts, Davis, Carlin and another inmate are seated together. Davis sits, staring down, his face vacant.
I was in the laundry today. All bleeding day. Murder. I hate it in there. Not bad tomorrow, though. On the gardening detail. I like that. Get some air. Like a holiday. Can always imagine you're not in this stinking hole.
Davis sits zombie-like.
You're on gardening tomorrow and all. Your name's on the list. I'll see you then.
Betts leaves. Davis finally blinks and looks up at Carlin. Carlin finishes his drink and leaves. Davis sits immobile, alone, lost in his own world. A deserted corridor at night. Davis lies in his bed weeping. He's wearing striped pajamas. He leaps out of bed and presses the buzzer on the wall. The deserted corridor outside his cell. At the far end, a door opens and Mr. Greaves appears. Greaves turns on the light switch and peers through the spy window. He opens the door. Davis stands waiting inside.
Right, Davis, what is it? Speak up. Why do you ring that bell? Don't you know it's an offence?
I feel lonely, sir. Frightened, sir. I don't close my eyes. Nightmares. I feel bad, depressed. I don't know what to do.
Cut that out, Davis, or I'll give you something to cry about, you mardy-arse little toe rag. You touch that bell again for no fucking reason, I'll have you down the block before your feet touch the ground. Now get your subnormal head down. Move!
Davis cowers and slips back into bed. Greaves walks out. Greaves locks the door, watching Davis through the spy window. He flicks the light switch off and heads back towards his office. Davis sits on a chair beside his bed, staring down. He's crying. His face contorts in misery, and he climbs back into his bed. He lies on his back, clutching the sheet in both hands. He eyes the shiny razor blade in his hand. He stares up at the ceiling. He moves both hands under the sheet. He tenses. Crimson blood stains the white sheet, the stain spreading rapidly outwards, soaking it. More and more blood. He tenses again. His head jerks back. He stares up at the ceiling, glassy-eyed, his mouth hanging open. He throws off the blood-soaked sheet and examines his bloodied hands. He pulls himself upright and stumbles towards the buzzer.
No. Oh, 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 oh.
He bashes at the buzzer. Greaves sits reading a newspaper. He checks an orange light flashing on a monitor, then goes back to his paper. Davis stands shaking, covered in blood, eyes closed, his face contorted with pain. His blood is splattered over the wall.
Wakey, wakey! 6:38, come on, get up!
Behind you, shine, I tell you.
Come on.
They move down the corridor, unlocking cell doors.
Come on,
Half-awake boys emerge and stand against the wall. Archer comes out.
Come on, move! Hold up to attention!
The boys straighten up.
Save this, you lazy twat! Out!
The pyjama-clad inmates line the corridor.
Right, Davis, Governor's report.
Sands strides down the corridor between the lines of boys. He peers through Davis's window.
Right, Mr. Duke, bring them up! Put them in their rooms! Move yourselves! And include you, Archer! Come on, move yourselves! Move! And you, Carlin! Move!
Sands opens the door to Davis's cell and stares down. Davis lies, clutching his sheet, pale and blood-soaked, dead on the floor. Sands hurries away. Inmates sitting in the canteen.
Eat!
Nobody moves. All the inmates sit stock still, arms folded, food untouched on their trays in front of them.
Eat! It goes in the bins!
He gazes round the canteen.
Eat!
Nobody moves. Sands steps forward and walks between tables. Greaves watches. The inmates sit in rows, immobile. Sands reaches Carlin's table at the far end.
Carlin, eat!
Carlin doesn't respond. Carlin slowly looks up. The inmates, still with arms folded, chant with increasing fervour. Carlin stares back at him blankly. He suddenly picks up his tray of food and flings it against the wall. The canteen erupts. Tables are upended and chairs are trashed as Sands and other officers run behind a barred door, closing it. Carlin attacks the wall with a block of wood. Wrecked tables and chairs are hurled into a pile in the centre of the canteen. Boys climb up and dismantle window fittings. Carlin punches both hands in the air. The mob circle round the pile of wreckage, punching fists in the air. A deserted corridor. Round the corner comes Greaves, dragging a limp, bloodied inmate. Other officers follow, dragging Archer and Carlin.
Come on, Archer! Where's all your help, Archer? Where's your help? Hey, where's all your help, Archer? Take it off,
The burly men toss the battered and bleeding Archer and Carlin into cells and lock the doors. The governor addresses the assembled inmates through a megaphone.
First, the damaged must be paid for. Loss of earnings for all until every damaged article is paid for. And to encourage you to work hard and make good this willful debt with all expediency, there are no privileges. None. You have to earn them. Now, with regard to our absent friend, I would remind you all that sad and unfortunate accidents occur in institutions like this, just as they do outside. We are all accident-prone, even here.
It is most revolting.
regrettable, but I will tolerate no further outbursts like the one recently witnessed. I will not tolerate it.
He stares out at the inmates with a steely gaze.
There will now be 1 minute's silent prayer for our departed friend.
The inmates stand in lines facing him, hands behind their backs. The governor closes his eyes and bows his head. ITOTFC audio description.